Well, if you have your Bible, please do turn. You can turn first of all to John chapter 3, and then we'll be moving over to Ephesians 5. But I begin with this. The idea of the Spirit held by the average church member is so vague as to be almost non-existent. So said A.W. Tozer 66 years ago in his interesting little book, The Divine Conquest. But think about what he said. The idea of the Spirit held by the average church member is so vague as to be almost non-existent. Has much changed in the last 66 years? Is that not true in many churches today? Is it not true to some extent, at least, also with us? Why are more people not being converted to Jesus Christ? Why are more people not praying? Why is attendance at church sporadic and at times disappointing? Why is evening attendance at church dwindling? The idea of the Holy Spirit held by the average church member today is so vague as to be almost non-existent. Ian Murray, who is a very fine Christian writer, in a book about the late Martin Lloyd-Jones called Messenger of Grace, lists in that book some of the legacies of that great preacher of the 20th century. And one of the great legacies that Lloyd-Jones left was this, that the growth of the church depends upon the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. And I think we have lost something of that. And Lloyd-Jones was a great biblical and reformed preacher, and yet he always preached about the need for the work of the Holy Spirit. And this morning and this evening, I want to pick up on this theme. Indeed, in all probability, God willing, over the coming Sunday evenings, I want to also continue on this theme. We will take a slightly different theme in the mornings. But this morning, just for a little time, I want to bring three simple, but I think very important challenges from the Word of God. Three biblical phrases about the Holy Spirit that we must never, ever forget. And to the extent that we think about these things and act upon these things and respond to these things will determine our walk with God. And the first one this morning that I want to mention is the biblical phrase, born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit. And as you look in John chapter 3, this teaching, as Jesus speaks to this very religious man, and he challenges him to the need to be born of God, to be born of the Holy Spirit. It's an intriguing and a challenging passage, isn't it? This teaching about the necessity of what Christians describe as the new birth, the second birth, is absolutely at the heart of the Christian message. It is distinctive of Christianity. No other religion in the world teaches this necessity that a man and a woman needs to be born again of the Spirit of God. Only Christianity teaches it. And it is absolutely basic. I remember hearing about a person who said, I want to be a Christian, but I don't want to be a born-again Christian. Not possible is the answer. A Christian, by definition, is a person who has been born again of the Spirit of the living God. It may have come about very dramatically. It may have come about very undramatically. But the work of regeneration has happened. You know, in life there's many things that you can go without. And there's many luxuries and many things that we enjoy that, if the truth of the matter was stated, we don't probably need them. But there are certain things in life that we do need if we're going to live. You need food. You need some water. You need a measure of health. You need the air to breathe into your lungs. If you don't have those things, you're not going to live for very much longer. And you know, there are things we might even say in the whole Christian experience that people may not have had or experienced, but they'll still be in glory. The example of that is the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross had never been to a service of worship. He had never been baptized. He had never been to the Lord's table. But he was born of God at the 11th hour. And he went to be with his Lord. You see, you could be many things. But if you're not born of God, you'll never see God. You'll never see heaven. It's absolutely indispensable. George Whitefield, the great preacher of the gospel, was once asked, as he went around, why he kept saying to people, you must be born again. And he simply replied, because you must. What about you? Have you experienced the new birth? Do you see your need this morning to be born of God? If you haven't, and if you're not sure about this whole theme of which I speak, then you need to seek God about these things. And you need to go home and you need to begin to really seek after God. And you need to get yourself into a position where you will come and you will sit under the ministry of the Word of God so that you will hear more about these things before it's too late, before you're lost. And if you do profess to be born of God, if you do profess to be a twice born believer, well then, listen carefully to what I now go on to speak about. Because the second thing that I want you to think about today, as we consider a new life word on the work of the Holy Spirit, is not only the necessity to be born of the Spirit, but it's also to be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit. And that is why we read from Ephesians chapter 5, where it says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. I couldn't help but smile. I didn't, not that I found it funny, but it was just an example of the pride in man's heart. You'll know that in recent days there has been a lot of talk. The British Medical Authority have produced guidelines about what people should be drinking and what they shouldn't be drinking. And it's been interesting to hear the reaction from many people. And you hear it. The radio says we've got these texts have come in. And there were a number of texts, and one particular text that struck me from somebody who said, and I paraphrase them, they said, I will do as I've continued to do, and I will drink my bottle and a half of wine tonight, and I will not listen to these do-gooders. Now, The issue here, I'm not making an issue. My primary point is not to do with drinking wine, but it's actually to do with the pride in men's hearts who will not be told what to do. And even when the highest authority of the land comes and says, for your own good, this is what you should do, they will say, we won't be told what to do. You see, it's an example of the DNA that is within each and every person, that we are independent, we are proud, we are stubborn individuals who will not be told by man or by God what to do. But the Word of God says this morning to us, do not get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And that is the Christian message that I want to just speak about just for a moment or two with you this morning. Within our church and our Reformed and Evangelical understanding of the Scriptures is this, that whenever a man or a woman believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, that something happens, something has happened, that the Holy Spirit, as I was saying to the children, has come to live within them. We receive the Holy Spirit. So if you're a believer this morning, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. You already have the Holy Spirit within you. Indeed, Romans 8 and 9 says that if any man does not have the Spirit of God, he does not belong to God. He does not belong to Christ. So what do we mean when we talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit? And before I answer that, let me throw out a few questions. Why is there such a low level of spiritual attainment in the life of many who profess to be Christians? Why do some Christians give the impression of remaining spiritual babes for much of their lives? Why do we all identify with the reality of times in our lives when we struggle spiritually and when we sense that great need of a fresh touch from God? The answer, I believe, to all of those questions is that we need to think about what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And I want you to notice from the passage in Ephesians chapter 5 a number of things. It simply says, be filled with the Spirit. It is a command. It's not a take it or leave it. It's a command. So you need to take that on board, brother and sister. This is a command from the Lord himself that you are to be filled with the Spirit. I want you also to notice that from this passage, it is for every believer. Paul does not distinguish here and say, now, here's a wee word for the minister and the teachers and the elders and the leaders. And the rest of you can doze for a moment. No, not at all. This is for everyone. It is not for some special elite. It is not for the chosen few. It is for you, and it is for me. And it is a continual experience. Be filled with the Spirit. It may not be obvious in the English, but it is obvious in the Greek in which it was written. And it's written in a sense of continually be filled with the Spirit. Continually. It's not a once for all. It's not something that we can say, oh, that happened to me 10 years ago, I don't need to worry about it now. You need to be filled with the Spirit today. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit tomorrow and next week and the next month as well, as do I. So what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Remember, the Spirit lives within us. And if we are Christians, what does that mean? Let me use an illustration. A little story, again, I've quoted A.W. Tozer. And Tozer tells the story of how on one occasion he went to hear an old man preach. The old man's name was Dr. Torrey, Dr. Reuben Torrey, R.A. Torrey. Some of you may know that name. And Dr. R.A. Torrey was preaching a sermon on the work of the Holy Spirit. And it was just literally a very, very short time before Dr. Torrey died. And Tozer said that Torrey, in his own words, he said that Dr. Torrey was really pretty feeble and old, and his voice was very shaky. But Tozer said it was one of the greatest sermons that he ever heard. And for many years afterwards, he remembered some of what Torrey had said. And one of the things that Torrey said, and I'm going to share it with you now, so it's worth listening to. One particular thing that Torrey said in that sermon, and I quote, "We do not need to worry about getting more of the Holy Spirit, but see to it that He gets more of us." And he went on to say this, "We can have all of Him if He can get all of us." And Tozer said, "That is worth thinking about." Let me repeat that, because I think that is of profound importance. Torrey said, "We do not need to worry about getting more of the Holy Spirit, but see to it that He gets more of us. We can have all of Him if He can have all of us." Folks, there is the nut and the crux of the matter. We are complacent. At times we are half-hearted. At times everything else comes first, more than God. And the Holy Spirit is not getting all of us. God is not getting all of us. He's getting us when we feel like giving Him a little bit. Is that not true? It is true. It's true in all of our hearts. And we need to be challenged about this. And as you think about your Christian life and your Christian commitment and your Christian involvement in and through this local church, you think about how you put God first. Or do you put God first? Or does something else come first? So often, so many other things come first. Somebody comes into the house on a Sunday evening, we're all set for church, and we say, "Oh, I can't go to church now." Say to the folks, "I'm going to my place of worship." What's more important? That's a small example. It's maybe not even the best example. But it makes the point, doesn't it? In the same vein, the late John Stott speaks of how in our Christian living, there needs to be a continual, every day, every week, repenting of things in our lives and really crying unto God to fill us afresh with His Holy Spirit. Folks, are you hungry for that? Are you thirsty for that? Let me show you that wee image there. Are you hungry and thirsty for God? This really brings us to the heart of what it means to go on as believers. And I want to say this, and I preach this first of all to my own heart. Many today, here and elsewhere, are missing out on so much in the Christian experience because we are holding back. We are holding back. And the word of God comes this morning and says, be filled with the Spirit. And the challenge for us this morning is that we need to go back to our homes and we need to close ourselves into our room and get down at the side of our bed and repent of our sin and say, Lord, fill me afresh with your Spirit. I'm sorry for how I have put you second best in my life. I'm sorry for how I have allowed other things to be first and foremost. Lord, forgive me. Fill me with your Spirit. The psalmist says in Psalm 81, open wide your mouth and I will fill it. And the Lord Jesus said, if a man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. But we're not coming to Jesus, are we? Because we're not thirsty. We're not hungry. And I hope and pray, it's my hope and prayer, not only for today, but for these coming weeks, that God, it will not be me that will do it, that God will create a fresh hunger and a fresh thirst in our hearts and in our souls for God. Not for religion. For God. For Christ. For the Spirit. And the third and final thing I would say to you this morning is born of God and born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, and thirdly and really quite briefly, in step with the Spirit. We didn't read it, but Galatians 5 and 25 says this, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. I wonder what God is saying to the church today in 2016. Well, I believe with all my heart, and I can say it on the authority of the Word of God, that one of the things that God is saying to us today is that we are to be in step with the Holy Spirit. It's a word for us today. We are not to be controlled, and that's the context of Galatians 5. We're not to be controlled by self or the flesh. How many of us can fall into a situation where even as professing believers, it's the flesh that's controlling us. It's self that's ruling our lives and ruining our lives. We need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to be in step with the Holy Spirit. So that we can rise above, if I can put it this way, to rise above the mediocrity that surrounds us. To rise above the gossip that saturates our community. To rise above the dishonesty that is everywhere around. The country is full of thieves and liars. Our nation is full of thieves and liars. At every level. To rise above all of that. To rise above the prejudices and small-mindedness that besets our land. And to live a life that really backs up the profession that we make to be followers of Jesus Christ. And as I finish, born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, in step with the Holy Spirit, what's the last word that I will leave you with you this morning? How does this happen? But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows are for those who will trust and obey. Folks, that's where it begins. Back to Calvary. You say to me, I've been to Calvary. Praise the Lord for that. But you need to get back to Calvary. And you need to lay your life on the altar afresh. And say, Lord, forgive me for giving you this and that in my life when I felt like it. I want to give you everything. Here I am. Holy, available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you would take these phrases from Holy Scripture, born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, in step with the Spirit, and brand them on our hearts, and give us no peace until we seek after God for a fresh touch. And we ask our prayer in our Saviour's name. Amen.